What up, what up, what up? Back again for another great episode of the FTN Fantasy Show. And of course, I am here joined by my co-host, my boy, my partner in crime, Mr. Matt Okada. It's week four, brother. What's going on?
What it do? Week four is a terrifying week to be through because it means a month of football has gone by, Laquan. I don't know how this has occurred.
Where's this season goes? Listen, this is the real problem. Next time you look up, you'll blink. It'll be December. I promise you. Just yes. Go ahead. Close your eyes. Blink. Welcome to Christmas.
And the worst part is the off season feels like it takes forever. And then the season goes by in 0 seconds. And it's terrible because it feels like there's never football.
I feel like I have, like, I don't want to spend too much time on this. But when April comes around, I'm like, God, this is going to be the longest offseason ever. Like, it's going to be a bunch of draft analysts out talking football, players, this and this and that. We'll never get to week one. And then we get to week one. Yo, it's week four. What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, man. But this is the one episode we're trying to figure out what to do with our stud players, man. So let's get right into the fantasy news, Okada. I mean, look, this has been a topic for the last couple of weeks. When is it time to hit the panic button on Ladd McConkey, man? Like, come on. What are we doing at this point?
Ooh, it is not time now. I can tell you that much. So here's basically how it's gone down in LA. All three guys are getting very similar routes and targets. They're all within a few percent. However, okay. Ladd McConkey's routes and targets are less deep than Quentin Johnston's, and they are less involved, or they are less headed his way in the red zone than they are with Keenan Allen, who is a red zone stud. As a result, he doesn't have any touchdowns, and he's not averaging as many yards per reception as Quentin Johnston. And so when you look at the fantasy box scores, it feels pretty bad. However, the involvement is still there. He is still an excellent option on third down. He is still an excellent route runner and a very good wide receiver. So he will score some touchdowns throughout the year. There's a non-zero chance that Quentin Johnston regresses a bit, or that Keenan Allen, as he gets, you know, is older and the season progresses, that Ladd takes some more of his roll back. So I'm not panicking yet, or really anywhere close to panicking, but I am concerned, and his upside is undoubtedly capped. Anyone who drafted him to be their wide receiver one, anyone who drafted him to be a top 15 wide receiver even, is not feeling great right now. He looks much more like a baseline wide receiver two, maybe high-end wide receiver three when things don't go great.
Now, Kato, do you see my face? You know that meme of that one kid in class that's like holding in and he has the vein popping
through?
Yes. That's me right now. I'm trying not to victory lap this one because it's early. Yep. But I will in December. I will be the loudest, most obnoxious person you'll ever know because I said this in April when they took Trey Harris. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, yeah, they have a design. Quentin Johnson, I did not see that breakout coming. No way. I thought Trey Harris would be the guy. And then it became KLS, Kieran J. Lambert-Smith. And then here we are with Keenan Allen signing in the fourth quarter of the offseason where it's like, oh, he ain't washed. But, folks, I'm close to hitting the panic button, Okada. You said you're concerned. That is the right word to use if you were 2-1, or even if you were 3-0 right now with Ladd as your wide receiver two. But for the folks that are 1-2 and took back-to-back losses, or 0-3 right now, I'm hitting that panic button. I am hitting it as soon as I can see it in range of where I can get him off my roster, because I do think this is going to be an issue all season long. Because I honestly think, Okada, I'm on the other side of the fence of this from you. I think Oronde Gaskin is going to make it even worse for Ladd McConkey because the praise and confidence he is coming out of camp. He is fresh, wet behind the ears in his first debut game, had the same amount of targets as Ladd, but more catches with 25% of the snaps. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the panic mode of Ladd McConkey.
For anyone who doesn't know, Oronde Gaskin is a tight end, rookie tight end, that was inactive the first couple of weeks.
Oh, not his father. For the old heads that are rocking with us, we are not talking about the guy that played in the 80s, okay? We're talking about his son, the second, Oronde Gaskin, the second. Yes.
Yes. And he looked great, and the coach speak about him has been really good, so I agree with you. It's definitely concerning.
It's one of the biggest concerns, man, but we're about to go to a comeback story. I think this is the comeback player of the year, Okada. Like, is Daniel Jones for real? Like, is this really happening? Like, are we looking at Daniel Jones as a start in week four against my Rams? I mean, beyond that as well. Like, are we seeing the real Daniel Jones right now?
This is a really tough one. I'm actually, as we speak, pulling up the comeback player of the year odds because I'm curious. I believe Christian McCaffrey is number one. Ooh, let me tell you something, Laquan. You wanna help yourself with the non-victory lap on Ladd McConkey? How about we talk about my man, Christian McCaffrey, for a second?
This is the most annoying thing, man, because it's like, I can't push back on this. I'm not going to hope for the guy to get injured, but he looks damn good. He looks good. He looks like the RB1, and that's fine. Folks, if you took the gamble on CMC as your number one, you got it. Congrats. But Okada, this comeback of the year for CMC, it has to be Daniel Jones. Nobody saw Daniel this. Jones,
so after we get through the CMC unvictory lap so that we can all make sure we're all on nice, humble pages here.
I like how you teed
Daniel
that.
Daniel Jones is number two. Now, I think it would take an injury to Christian McCaffrey for Daniel Jones to win the award. Because if CMC keeps going at this rate, healthy, coming back from a significant injury, hard for him not to win. The guys who are coming back from just being bad at the game usually don't beat out the guys who are coming back from a big injury. But
freaking Geno Smith, 2022 comeback player of the year. He was bad.
Yeah, but who was the best injured guy that year?
I don't remember, honestly. 2022.
I think he beat out a bunch of nobodies that year. Regardless, here's what matters on Daniel Jones. I said last week when he was going up against the Broncos that I felt like that was the first real test and the test that would kind of put me in I believe mode with Daniel Jones.
Really?
He passed that test with flying colors, so I will now say I believe. What I will not yet say is that I know, but I think that test comes this week, Laquan. Ooh. He got the I believe test last week. He gets the I know test this week against the Rams. The Rams are looking nasty. They are a tough defense. If
bringing that hammer.
If he comes out and has another 220-yard, two touchdown, no interception, one or two punt, rush a touchdown in game against this defense, I'm going to be fully, fully bought in. We're talking like when Baker Mayfield had his breakout, when Sam Darnold had his breakout, back when Geno Smith had his breakout, and those guys were like top eight quarterbacks all year, he's going to be in that tier. And there's really no ifs, ands, or buts about it, I don't think.
I hear you. But I do think this may be the game in the test that he passes with flying colors, because the Rams, put my Rams hat on right now. We struggle against mobile quarterbacks. There's no surprise. We saw in 2023, Anthony Richardson put up 29 fantasy points. That is to date his best performance as a Colts quarterback starting. I do think that we struggle against tight ends. There is no secret. Dallas Goedert's touchdown last week changed the whole dynamic and scope of this entire game. So I do think with Tyler Warren and Daniel Jones being semi-mobile, my boy is doing magic tricks and sliding in and out of that pocket from all pressures. He's one of the most blitz quarterbacks in the league right now. We got to stop blitzing Daniel Jones because he's going to just tee it up in his checkdowns. That is where he's getting by right now, and I think that is one of the biggest issues that the Rams have is stopping the tight ends and containing the mobile quarterback. So I do think he flies well past this test with flying colors, Okada, but man, what are we doing transitioning to Washington, man? What are we doing with the Commanders running backs, Okada? Like, do you have an idea of who the guy is? Because publicly they're saying it's Bill, but when we look at the snap percentages, it doesn't look like it's Bill. What are we doing?
Yeah. I have an answer on who the guy is as of right now. And the answer is nobody is the guy. Listen, everyone is desperate to decide to figure out who is the guy. Is it going to be Bill? Austin Eckler's gone. He's the guy now, right? And then there's the Chris Rodriguez truther committee despite the fact he was inactive for the first 2 weeks. Oh, well, now they activated him because Austin Eckler's gone, which means he's the guy. No one is the guy. You don't need to have a guy. Not every team has a guy. There is no guy here. No one is the guy. I don't know, Laquan, if you remember, I think it was Sharkboy and Lava Girl, or maybe it was one of the Spy Kids movies.
Oh, my God.
I think it was
a
Spy Kids movie.
Throwback.
Where there was the guy, and then everyone figured out he was not the guy. It was Elijah Wood, who was not the guy. No, oh, no one is the guy right now.
Nobody's the guy. Oh, you threw me for a loop. Those are two movies I've seen. Oh, my God. I got to go back. I got to put the kids on Spy Kids. That's a good little callback right there.
If you're trying to go back to some terrible CGI, but some very amusing stuff, go watch Spy Kids again.
Yes.
Right now, and you hit it, Laquan, they split the snaps exactly even last week, 21 and 21, plus Jeremy McNichols had 14. So it's almost a three-way even split.
Oh, my God.
McNichols had the biggest play of the game. Kroski Merritt happened to get a goal line carry, and so he had an okay game. But other than that, he stank. Chris Rodriguez had the most carries. So this is a complete crapshoot. No idea if anyone's going to step up. Now, having said all of that, if someone were to step up, I would expect it to be Bill, even as the noted historical Bill hater. From the offseason, I was trying to tell everybody I was not buying into the hype.
We love Bill. Why do you hate Bill? Nope.
Seventh round rookies never become RB1s in their rookie years. And we've even last week with the major opportunity to do so, we saw him not become the RB1. If someone's going to do it, I would expect it might be him because Chris Rodriguez was a healthy scratch for the first couple of weeks. Kroski Merritt has looked quite good whenever he's gotten opportunities. And yeah. Jeremy McNichols is never going to be the RB1. He's going to be a change of pace pass catcher guy and correct. A potentially good one. So if you're looking for a future the guy, I would put the money on Kroski Merritt. But my expectation is that there is never one. Nobody should be buying Kroski Merritt thinking he's going to be an RB2 fantasy and an RB1 in Washington rest of season, in my opinion. And if someone else thinks that, I would sell him. And I'd pick up Chris Rodriguez just in case he's the one who wins the job because he's free right now.
I think we'll know this game of who the guy is. And I'd say they will be crowned the guy is when they pick up Austin Eckler's snap percentage. Not one of these guys have cracked over 40% of the snaps. Austin Eckler left 50% of the snaps on the table for these guys because that's what Austin Eckler was doing. His highest snap percentage in a game before injury was 53%. None of these guys have sniffed that. And I think once we see that guy hit that snap percentage, once we see him crack 45% maybe, I think that's will be the guy. So hopefully we could check back in with the Washington Commanders backfield. And hopefully we can get Jaden Daniels back up and healthy. Because I do think it's going to be risky business without Jaden Daniels there. It's not going to be the normal operating offense. It's not going to be, you know, the Mariota show. And then he's able to pick up where Jaden Daniels has left off for this running game to be efficient. So I think it will be a carousel of running backs as long as Jaden Daniels is out. But once JD's back in, I think that's when we'll get our answer truthfully of who the guy is. But we're going to take a quick commercial break. I always wanted to say that, even though this ain't like a TV show or anything like that. But we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back for some game previews and highlight some games that you need to know. And, of course, we got our Monday night predictions. And also from the FTN staff, we got some Thursday night bowl predictions, man. So please hang around. We'll be right back. And we're back. First game on deck that we're going to be talking about is the Browns and Lions. Now, Okada, I got to ask you about this Lions run game. Are they going to be as lethal as they were last week with David Montgomery and Gibbs completely just or farming, honestly, with all the rushing yards they put up last week? Are they going to be able to be as lethal against this Browns defense?
Absolutely not. You asked some tough questions early on in the show, Laquan. This is not a tough question. The Browns defense is scary. And they are very, very good against the run. They have allowed 2.3 yards per carry.
Say that again.
2.3? It has been
wow
horrendous. This is the team that held Derrick Henry to 2.3 fantasy points or something like that in a game the Ravens scored 41.
Yeah, he had 23 rushing yards that game. I was so pissed. I was like, this ain't the thing.
11 carries. And so, wow. and That's the biggest issue and concern is you look at this game and you see, oh my gosh, the Ravens are going to trounce the Browns. They're favored by 10. They're going to be winning all game and running the clock out, and it's going to be great. When the Ravens were winning the game 41-17 over the Browns, Derrick Henry had 11 carries and had 23 rushing yards. So this gives me no confidence in David Montgomery running the clock out. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery are both startable players anyways because they're both very good and this Lions offense is very good. Both of them have a good chance to get into the end zone because they always do. But they're nowhere near where they were last week in terms of expectation. And I think Montgomery is sittable if you have two solid running backs. Like, I think he is just outside RB2 range in rankings. So if you've got two other good ones and you can put a wide receiver in your flex, I think Montgomery hits the bench.
Guess what? I'm doing that exact thing. David Montgomery is a sit this week because the Browns defense, they're the one team that you don't want to get in a fight with. They just won't go down. Like in the bar fight, there's always the one guy in the bar fight that gets hit in the head with the hardest objects and he's still up swinging. Like how is this man still up here fighting? And that's exactly who the Browns are. And a big part of that is from the defense. They are stouter. They held Josh Jacobs under 2 yards per carry. They held the king to 23 rushing yards. And Chase Brown is just kind of bad right now. So I don't really coin them for them. But I do think on the other side of that ball, I'm starting Quinshon Judkins over David Montgomery this week. I feel like that's a move that I am grateful to have him on my roster because, man, he was just cooking on my bench. It was looking a little weird in August, not knowing if he was going to get suspended or not. But, boy, in week two, he hit the ground running. In week three, he is going even further up. My boy is balling right now. So, David Montgomery, man, I think Gibbs is safe, like how you were mentioning, because I do think there's PPR upside, obviously. There's going to be scoring opportunity for Gibbs as well. If they get into striking distance enough, I think David Montgomery just ends up being the odd man out, even having such a good week last week. Whew, Okada. Here's another matchup. I threw a prayer up last night to the fantasy guy. It's like, please, let this be the week, okay? What if Travion Henderson still underperforms this week against the freaking Panthers, man. Against the Panthers after Ramondre Stevenson fumbled twice, Antonio Gibson fumbled, and then we finally got Travion Henderson. What if he underperforms this week? What is the next move?
If he underperforms as in opportunity, I think it's real bad. If he underperforms from an efficiency standpoint, that's also bad because the Panthers defense is not good against the run and he should be able to run roughshod all over them. But I believe in the talent of Travion Henderson. If I saw that, I would still expect that later in the year he would get better. So if he comes out and averages like 3.3 yards per carry and only has 3 catches for 12 yards, but he has 17 carries and sees 60% of the running back snaps, I'm going to feel great, even if his fantasy day isn't amazing. But if he comes out after what Ramondre Stevenson did last week, not just 2 fumbles, Laquan, 2 fumbles lost, not just 2 fumbles lost, 1 on the goal line in a game they lost by a touchdown. He basically single-handedly lost them that game. After leading the league in fumbles last year, if it was Bill Belichick running this team, my man wouldn't be just in the doghouse. He would be sent to another country to live with dogs on the street. Because, good gracious, Ramondre just...
Somewhere in Europe.
You cannot have a lead back who is putting the ball on the ground once every other game. It's just not doable. So, Ramondre Stevenson needs to see the bench a whole lot this week, and Travion Henderson needs to be given the chance and the keys to this backfield. He is the more talented back. Everybody should know this by now. I don't know why we're coddling our rookie running backs. These aren't, you know, quarterbacks. And even in the quarterback situation, Jackson Dart's getting put in, so we're not coddling them anymore. Why are we coddling these rookie running backs? They can take over right out the gate. We've seen it with other players. We've seen it with Quinshon Judkins. Just give him the keys, let him run.
Yeah, man. I agree. Just give him the keys and let him run. I honestly think like he deserves at least over 50% of the snaps. I mean, your other guys aren't doing much on the ground. It's not like they're getting home runs every week. They're dropping the ball a ton. Why not just give him the keys, man? Like, that's one of the most frustrating things in fantasy because it's like you see the talent. You know the system. You see the opportunity for him, but the team wants to coddle him. That doesn't make sense. Sean Payton. Yeah, that was just a random outburst there. I was holding that one. But yeah, let's move on before I get very stressed out.
Both of us pouring one out for RJ Harvey right now because it is not looking good.
He is near the drop zone, and I hate to say that on wax, but I am being very honest with myself because waiver wires are rising. Guys are getting better, and guys are getting more opportunities. And as my rosters seem to adjust, RJ Harvey is right there on the chopping block if it doesn't happen in the next week or two. I'll give him an extra week. But let's go to Titans-Texans, man. Now, this game's a little bit interesting. There's some storylines to follow here, but to help the fantasy managers, I want to hone in on Tennessee first. Now, coaching changes. I mean, not coaching changes, which could be in the future, actually, but play calling changes. Going from Brian Callahan calling the shots, now we're getting a new offensive coordinator. It is leaving my mind of his name. I literally just had it, Okada. But do you see any upside with Calvin Ridley right now, being that we're getting some new play calling in Tennessee?
It is Bo Hardigree, the quarterback's coach.
Bo, there you go.
So here's the issue, Laquan. I don't know diddly butkus about Bo Hardigree, nor does anybody. Yeah,
he took over, you know, when some coaches got fired in the midst of things. So he doesn't really have that much experience as a play caller. But I have a theory that play calling changed last week. Because I was looking at some guys, you know, Chika Kanku. I mean, the breakout looks to be brewing if you look at his production week in and week out. Last week was his best week. I do think that Cam Ward had a better week last week of throwing downfield. So I ask you again, do you see any upside with Calvin Ridley this week?
I mean, I always see upside with Calvin Ridley. He was one of my favorite.
Is it because of the talent? Is it the talent, though? Like, is it what he's able to do on the field? Yeah, is it Calvin Ridley?
Yes, it is. It is his talent, and it's the way in which he wins, which is big plays, downfield, touchdowns. He has been a guy who has shaken the shoes off of cornerbacks and gotten deep post routes that end up scoring a ton of fantasy points in one play. Here's my issue. Number one, it's not like, do you remember back when Will Levis was taking over? I think this was last year. Oh, and we all said, ooh, there's a bunch of Calvin Ridley upside because Will Levis is taking over and he'll throw the ball downfield. And that's good for Calvin Ridley. They should their styles should match up well, and Calvin Ridley should be good for fantasy. The problem was Will Levis stinks. He stunk and he stinks. He's a really bad quarterback. And so, listen, you can throw the ball deep downfield, but if you can't throw the ball deep downfield accurately, it doesn't really matter much. Or if you're turning the ball over a ton and your offense never has it, that doesn't matter much. Cam Ward has been quite bad, for the most part, through his first three starts. Now, he's a rookie. He doesn't necessarily have the best team around him, but it's not been great. And by the way, number one overall picks don't usually start that great because, spoiler alert, Laquan, this is how the NFL draft works, for those who don't know. The worst team in the NFL gets the number one pick. So usually that doesn't look great when this number one quarterback is taken over. That being said, there are targets and players with air yards involved in Tennessee now that besides Calvin Ridley, Alec Iomanner, however you want to say his name.
Yeah, Alec Iomanner.
Yeah, Chika Okonkwo, who you mentioned. Yeah. When it was just Calvin Ridley, there was a lot of hope that he would be consistently good. With these other guys now in the picture, there's upside, which is what your question was, but is there reliability or a floor? Absolutely not. He had 7 targets last week and scored 3.2 fantasy points in half PPR with one catch.
Mm.
So I'm not rushing to put him in any lineups. You can flex him some places, but I'm not rushing to put him in any lineups until I see Cam Ward have some consistent success and or see this offense change significantly with this OC move.
I told you that Alec Iomanner right now is leading the Titans in air yards right now?
I would not be surprised.
Air yards per target. But that is a little surprising. Isn't Calvin Ridley supposed to be the field stretcher? Now, Alec Iomanner, he's great as a field stretcher because he can win the contested catches. I mean, we see him put up one hand on the perimeter against my Rams. Like, it doesn't matter. The catch radius is there. I just find it odd that you're not getting these plays from Calvin Ridley. It's the most annoying thing to have him on your roster and you start him and not have any other better options, because where you draft invested in him, you thought you were good at wide receiver, because essentially in a lot of leagues, he's like a wide receiver 3 or 4, Okada. Like, hear me out. Like, I got him on a bunch of rosters, but I look to that bench. Am I turning to Brandon Ayuk now? No, because he's just now getting to sprints. Am I turning to a Stephon Diggs? No, because he has been dust. So it's like, ah, you're put in a very hard spot rostering Calvin Ridley. So I'm wondering, like, what folks should start thinking about doing in the next couple of weeks, because if we don't see any life by week 6, like, there's no reason for him to be on rosters, honestly. Like, that upside kind of goes out the window.
Are you turning to Xavier Worthy?
I think Xavier Worthy is interesting because I think that the Chiefs found something in Tyquan Thornton. I think that deep threat could be utilized, you know, split between the two. It's a matter of Worthy's going to come back healthy, if he's going to be able to be serviceable, if he's going to be more than just a deep threat. That's where the real question comes down to, because I think in time and overlap where he gets back ramped up is when we get Rashid Rice back. So it's like, Where's the relevance there?
One last one I'll throw out real quick. Chris Godwin's coming back. I have been saying for much of the offseason, I think Chris Godwin will start very slow off the injury. I would still go Chris Godwin over Calvin Ridley because I trust his quarterback way more. Gazillions
folks need to hear that. Folks need to hear that. Like, Stephon Diggs and Calvin Ridley, there's others who fall in that bag and category. If I have a Chris Godwin, if I have a Brandon Ayuk, I am thankful these guys are coming back. And Rashid Rice, even Christian Kirk. I mean, look, he was the next, you know, topic, but we're going to save some time and put him into the side. But I do think you have valuable options that are coming off of IR, the pup list, et cetera, that we can turn to that I'd rather have than a Calvin Ridley or Stephon Diggs right now. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to finish up the game previews and get into some Monday night predictions and even a little Thursday night fun, being that we're recording on the Thursday, and you're probably not going to hear this on Friday until Friday morning. So we'll be right back. And we're back. Let's get into the mid bowl. And I say the mid bowl, and hopefully, I pray we get to see Mac Jones versus Trevor Mid-Lawrence, Okada. Like, I'm praying we get to see that. Because, look, Mac Jones, Brock Purdy, both limited in practice this week at the time of a recording. I do feel like we deserve to get a Mac Jones versus Trevor Mid-Lawrence, being that they have the circus over there. But my question is for you. Can we trust any Jags pass catchers? And this includes the Brenton Strange. This includes, obviously, Travis Hunter as well. Can we trust any of the pass catchers on this Jaguars offense in fantasy this week against the 49ers?
You can trust Jaguars pass catchers about as far as I can throw Vita Vea. Maybe Jordan Davis.
Good luck even nudging any of those guys or even lifting them to even reach their tippy toes. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
Listen,
yeah, that's nasty work.
I don't know where Trevor is on your mid-meter right now, Laquan, but I hope you've extended it downwards. Okay, he's fallen off the telo.
Like, he's literally, like, beyond the point of where it's magnet. Like, I have to hold it up at this point because, God. He is not even team mid. I keep calling him Trevor Mid-Lawrence. It's Trevor Low Lawrence right now. Like, it's real nasty work there.
Yeah, 100%. You say this is the mid bowl. It's only the mid bowl if Mac Jones is holding it up with his higher than mid and pulling Trevor Lawrence up from his T low.
What if he switches jerseys like mid game and just goes on the other side of the field and elevates Brian Thomas Jr. what he did last season?
Exactly. That's what's the craziest part is. The main reason to want to see Mac Jones here, and this is no, you know, slight to Brock Purdy. Obviously, if Brock Purdy can get healthy, we realistically would want him out there. He's the starter.
Yeah.
However, there is no end to the hilarious irony of Brian Thomas Jr. having to go out and watch Mac Jones feed Ricky Pearsall and turn him into a star while Trevor Lawrence is keeping him in the absolute poop tier after Mac Jones turned him into the best rookie of the year last year in the stretch that he had. And for those who have forgotten, let us remind you, Laquan mentioned it, I've mentioned it, Brian Thomas Jr. was okay, decently good for the first half of the year. Then Trevor Lawrence got hurt, Mac Jones came in, and Brian Thomas Jr. became the most highly targeted, most explosive wide receiver in the entire NFL. Forget just rookies. He was unbelievable. That was all with Mac Jones. Now Trevor Lawrence is back. It could not look worse for Brian Thomas Jr. He has been horrendous for fantasy. I think he had one big catch last year on like broken or last game that came on some broken coverage that made his day look a little better than it actually was. It was not that good. He has been horrible. You cannot trust any of these guys. Last week, I wrote Brian Thomas Jr. up as a fade or bust, but when I wrote him up, I said, you realistically can't bench him because he's Brian Thomas Jr. and you draft him as your wide receiver one. You might have drafted him as your first player.
Yeah.
We're getting very near you can bench Brian Thomas Jr. range, Laquan, because there's nothing to believe in here. Like, the talent, kind of, but also he's been dropping the ball willy-nilly. Yeah. The quarterback play? Absolutely not. The matchup? Not really. So I don't know what, like, there are a lot of wide receivers you could look to get in your lineup over Brian Thomas Jr. You're starting everyone over Travis Hunter. You absolutely cannot roll him out right now. Not until he starts getting targets and offensive snaps at a higher rate.
Who would have thought this would have been a problem?
You can try Brenton Strange because tight end is a little rough.
I'm trying Brenton Strange because he has some moxie to him. I like the little break off tackles, and he seems to have more relevance in this offense than Kate Otten did, you know, with healthy wide receivers in Tampa when Liam Cohen's on the sticks. So I'm trying Brenton Strange this week because I have to. Okay.
Yeah.
I have to do
a
something.
Lot of people might.
Exactly. So look, Fantasy Streets, man, it's real nasty work over there in Duval. So I don't expect much change, but we, as the Fantasy Streets, as the people, we deserve the mid bowl. Okay. We deserve Mac Jones versus Trevor Mid Lawrence. We deserve that. We need that because I need to see mirror side by side of comparison of production. And it'll be the most hilarious thing if they do a jersey swap. So moving on, Vikings, Steelers, we're in Dublin, yo. Listen, Jordan Addison is back. Jordan Mason's running wild. Carson Wentz looked serviceable last week. Now I ask you, can we trust him for our Vikings pass catchers? Because I do think we need that Justin Jefferson game. I do think with Jordan Addison back, it does help this Vikings offense a little bit better. Can we trust Carson Wentz, man? That is the real question.
We can trust Carson Wentz to a degree. First of all, I think he is a decent quarterback. I think it's been a couple years of bounce around where he's not gotten to settle anywhere. It hasn't been very good, but now he's in KOC's offense and he looks pretty decent because we all remember this guy was like trending to be the MVP one year before he got hurt. Like, he has talent. More importantly, though, they built their strategy and their offensive game plan around throwing the ball quick, getting rid of the ball quick, quick hitters. Carson Wentz just managing the game well, and he did that exceptionally well. I think he threw a quick pass on 60% of his attempts, if I'm not mistaken. I was doing some research for this earlier this week. Yeah, it was very, very high. And it was the complete opposite of J.J. McCarthy, by the way, who was bottom of the league. He'd been holding the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Wentz is good enough to manage this offense well. Justin Jefferson is good enough to succeed with Carson Wentz at quarterback. Now, am I saying that the ceiling is as high as it has been in recent years for all these players? No, probably not. But I think the floor is there in a way that it maybe wasn't with J.J. McCarthy. So you can start your reliable players. You can start your Justin Jeffersons with confidence. You can start, I think, T.J. Hockenson, who had a good week with Carson Wentz, who used to be the Zach Ertz guy, as we all remember.
Let's go.
And you can certainly start Jordan Mason, who's looks amazing and is a great fit for the Carson Wentz is going to be a quick throw game manager and the offense is going to work well.
I think Jordan Mason at this rate, he might be a top five rusher. And I don't even think that's a hot take. I really do think behind this O-line, I do think that the Vikings are going to be trailing along, moving the ball very well with Jordan Mason. Like, him finishing the season as a top five rusher, I would not be surprised, because I don't even think Aaron Jones coming back, he takes the keys from Jordan Mason. This is Jordan Mason's backfield. They might as well start printing out a new contract and get him to sign, because it's going to be one of those things. Like, he has a lot of motor in him for the next couple of years. But let's get into some Monday Night Football predictions. Broncos, Bengals. Now, I got to say, this is one of the most nerve-wracking Monday nights, because there's a lot going on here of where I have to sit tight and hope that I'm not down by any points on Sunday night. Because Monday, I have to wait for Jake Browning to go out there for Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. What are your expectations, man? Because, like, these guys, I feel like you can bench, but I'm not able to say that publicly, confidently yet. But this is the Denver Broncos defense on a Monday night. Are you telling me I got to wait all the way to Monday to see if I can come back from the deep depths of hell of fantasy points for a Monday miracle? And it's all dependent on Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Okada, what do you do?
So you can, you have to start Ja'Marr Chase. I don't care who you are. I don't care what league you play in. I don't care if you play in.
Give me a prediction. Give me a prediction of what Ja'Marr Chase is going to put up in T. Higgins. Because I do feel like folks can say this. Folks can have that mentality like, you start your studs. But dude, I'm 1-2. I'm 0-3, and I got to wait the entire weekend for something that I know is not going to be the high expectations that we have. Jake Browning is terrible. This is a Denver defense that will take the ball away. That's less opportunities for scoring the high fantasy points. I'm on a rant now because I am one of those people. I have Ja'Marr Chase. I have T. Higgins.
I mean,
tell me, Okada, what is the prediction? What is the prediction?
I'll go 6-for-69 for Ja'Marr Chase. And this is the thing.
That's
not terrible, but obviously there are guys you would want to start over that stat line because you can get over that stat line pretty easily. However, those guys, those wide receiver three, fringe wide receiver two kind of guys you might be talking about, they, none of them have Ja'Marr Chase's ceiling. Now, that ceiling is lowered with Jake Browning, it would seem. So that makes this tougher. But you just can't sit Ja'Marr Chase. It's not doable. I don't care if you're in a six-team league. It's just not doable. However, not only can you sit T. Higgins, Laquan, you should sit T. Higgins.
Okay, now we're on board because I have a couple leagues with T. Higgins, right? That's a late-round, second-round pick that we're putting on the bench. I get folks are a little worried, but those floors are scary as hell. When I look down, I see roaches. I see cracked tiles. It is very scary what those floors are going to look like. Like, I'm terrified of having either one of these guys, and you giving me a prediction of 6 catches, 69 yards for Ja'Marr Chase, that doesn't sound terrible. But if I need a Monday night miracle, that's not going to happen. So by Sunday, folks, you're going to hear on a Friday morning. Like, you're going to know. You better know that your roster is set, it's final, and it's guys that have high ceilings. And they're going to make up the lack of, if you have T. Higgins in your starting lineups, and Ja'Marr Chase. Okada, that's a scary ride. So that wraps up another great episode of FTN Fantasy, man. And please make sure you guys are liking, subscribing, and heading to the website to check out all the things we have to offer. I tell you now, there isn't another website that looks as cool as ours at FTNFantasy.com. My guy Okada and me are signing off, and please make sure you guys are liking, subscribing, and we'll see you guys next week for another great episode of the FTN Fantasy Show.